confusion of 10 o'clock because we have been sometimes meeting at 10 o'clock. But this is a special meeting which was supposed to start to be on Wednesday. And then we took the meeting to today, 9 o'clock. And that was the instruction to the secretary. And I saw the first interaction from the secretary made mention of 9. I don't know where this 10 o'clock emanating. But you are all welcome, honorable members, and welcome to the members of the staff. And our meeting is supposed to be very short today. If it's an hour, it will be delayed. Otherwise, it's supposed to be even less than an hour. The first thing in this meeting, we're supposed to deal with the program, including the minutes of the previous meetings that we could not. But having checked at the members that are here, we're still not making a quorum. Let me count again how many members that are here. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. We're still short of one or two members so that we can claim to be a quorum. For now, I think, Chair, while we still... Hello?
The meeting is correcting.
It's correcting?
Yes.
Oh, okay. Then let's go to the minutes then of the previous meeting, sir.
Excuse me, Chairperson, sorry, I apologize. Good morning, it's Farhad Isaac. Could we please ask the Secretariat to record the apology of Honorable Kachalia, please? Thank you.
Yes, I was supposed to ask the Secretary to start with the minutes, with the apologies first. Secretary?
Chair, yeah. As recorded, the apology of Mr. Kachalia, who is overseas until the time when he comes back. However, I haven't received any other apology for today's meeting, Chair, from the members.
Chair?
Okay, continue with the second part.
Chairperson.
Okay. Somebody's calling Chairperson. Hello?
Hello, Chair. How are you? This is Honorable Komani. Please note the apology of Honorable Maotwe.
Thank you, Honorable Komani. Secretary, did you capture that?
Captured, Chair.
Okay. Then go with the business of the day, sir.
Okay, I'm going to start quickly with the minutes first, Chair, then we do the oversight report.
Okay, go ahead.
The first minutes, Chair, is the minutes of the 24th of August, 2022, which was the Alexco annual report and financial statements presentation. On the front page is the attendance of the members of the committee who were present in the meeting, and the delegation of the DPE that was led by the deputy minister at the time, and the new leadership of Alexco. And a brief opening remarks of the chairperson, and input by the Deputy Minister of Public Enterprises, Pumulo Mr. Mashwale, and then the presentation that was done by Ms. Hannah Kom, who was the interim board chairperson of Alexco. Then. Some of just a summary of the issues that were raised by the members of the committee. And then the responses of the committee of the Alexco, and then the adoption of the minutes of the 1st of June 2022. And the minutes of the 8th of June, 2022, also an adoption of the third term, the draft third term program of the committee, which took the decision that we must finalize the issue of the Quebec power station. That was the first, that was the meeting of the 24th of August, Chair. Thank you. Can I go through all the minutes? It will be faster.
Yeah, you can do that. I think, let me check with the members. Can you just put all the minutes and then adopt them at the same time? Can I get your hands there?
Chair, whichever route you take will support it.
Okay, Honorable Dlamini?
I second that proposal, Chair. Let's proceed. It will save a bit of time as well.
Okay. Thank you, Honorable Members. Go ahead, the Secretary.
Okay, thank you, Chair. And thank you for the committee also for allowing me some time off. And thank you for Yandiswa Tsele for standing in for me during this period of the minutes of the meetings when I wasn't around. This is the meeting, the minutes of the 7th of September 2022, briefing by Transnet on the annual report and financial statements for 2021-2022 financial year. Those are the members of the committee who were present in the meeting, and the DPE delegation leading the Transnet delegation. And we've also got the opening remarks by the chairperson on the second page, and the presentation of Transnet on the annual report and financial statement for the 2021-2022. Introductory remarks by the Group CEO of Transnet, Ms. Poshia Derby. The discussions, just a summary of the discussions. And the responses that were given by Transnet in the meeting. And then the resolution that Transnet will submit information on the economic multiplier effect on the investments that Transnet makes. That was the meeting of Transnet, Chair. And then the next minutes are the minutes of the 14th of September. This was the briefing by the business rescue practitioners on the status update regarding the rescue process of Mango. This was on the 14th of September. These are the members of the committee who were present in that meeting. Including the apologies, the delegation of DPE was led by the deputy minister and the acting director general. We also had the interim board chair of SAA, who is Professor Lamola. And then number one deals with the opening remarks of the chairperson. And then the presentation was done by the deputy director general of the Department of Public Enterprises, Advocate Makobe, on behalf of instead of the rescue practitioners. And then the discussions are summarized in the pages. It's quite detailed. And then the responses. Yeah, and then number five deals with the resolution that the committee took for this particular meeting. That the committee resolved that there are contradictions within the Companies Act that needed the committee to look at. And then the content advisor should look at the legislation and advise the committee. The committee should have a joint sitting with the Portfolio Committee on Trade and Industry and Competition, as they are responsible for policy and legislation affecting state-owned companies. The business risk practitioner should table a report on the finances of Mango and how that has been used. The committee would appreciate a written reply by Mango. That was the meeting of the 14th of September, 2022. The next minutes are the minutes of the 21st of May, of September. No, I think that these are all the minutes that we have table chair for now. Thank you, Chair.
Sebong, thank you so much. Honorable members, that is the presentation of the minutes. Can I have somebody to move the minutes for the adoption?
Chair?
Yes, Honorable Gumede.
Yes, Chair, I move the adoption of the meetings or of the minutes as respectively presented to us as a committee.
Thank you, Honorable Gumede. Is there any second, Honorable Members? Any second,
Chairperson? Yes.
Oh, okay. That's good. Let me leave the DA to second. That's nice. Let me allow Isaac, Chairperson. Thanks.
Honorable Isaac.
Honorable Chairperson, I firmly believe that Honorable Shabalala is my senior, and I think perhaps the honorable thing to do is to allow ladies first. So, Ms. Shabalala, please. It's good to have your name on record. No, Chairperson, I will second it. It's fine. Thank you.
Chairperson, this is history in the making. Let's commend Honorable Isaac. The DA is never seconded. Well done. Kachalia must not come back. Thanks.
No, it's because the opposition doesn't want it to remove it in Joburg. That's why. So we're trying to appease you.
Thank you, Chair.
You are provoking me to remind you, we have not been in the meeting for some time. Just allow the meeting to take place properly.
Because I'm attending the whips, yeah.
Let's go back to the secretary for the oversight, what is it called? The visit to other places and all that program. Who is making presentation, Secretary?
Chair, I'm going to present on the report, and then Ms. Lee Bramwell will present on the other issue of the program regarding the study tour, the visits.
Okay, go ahead.
Yeah, she will enter after the adoption of the report. Yeah, this is the report of the Portfolio Committee on Public Enterprises on the oversight visit to Eskom, SAA, SA Express Airways, and Denel, dated 30th September. 30th September is today's date, the date that we adopt the report. Basically the introduction is that we visited these entities in Cape Town and Gauteng, respectively. And then that was from the 19th to the 22nd of April 2022. In terms of the background, just to say that the state-owned enterprises are under serious operational, governance, and financial distress, and they have been others are facing liquidation, such as Mango and Express Airways, which has already finished. And then We're just there in the background, given a synopsis of the challenges facing Denel in terms of its inability to honor its contractual obligations and even paying salaries of workers, as expressed the process of liquidation. And the committee needed to get a progress report with regards to that liquidation process. In terms of SAA, it had then concluded an equity partnership agreement and resumed its operation. So the committee needed to familiarize itself with the performance and the new business model of SAA. And then the committee also had received a complaint from NUM regarding the irregularities at Eskom in relation to the contract of the replacement of the steam generator. Hence, the committee had to also go to Quebec Power Station. And then the delegation of the committee was as thus at 1.2. And then the visit to Quebec Power Station was our first stop at number 2. That was the purpose of the visit, was to actually to see the activities at the plant, but also get an update on the national power grid, and also be briefed by NUM on the allegations of irregularities. That took place on the 19th of April. It was a joint with the Portfolio Committee on Mineral Resources and Energy. The CEO of Eskom and his leadership, they joined the committee through a virtual platform. They were not present at the oversight. And then they also made some welcoming remarks. And then some of the issues that were raised there, it was regarding the load shedding. And at that time, we were there on the 19th. The country was on stage 4 load shedding, which was implemented on the 19th of April, 2022. And then that is just a background on what Eskom had actually explained to the committee in terms of why there was load shedding in the country at the time. And then in terms of the maintenance, it was explained to us that the utility does not have enough capacity to implement the plant maintenance. The situation was compounded by the last independent power producer contract being concluded in 2014. So they say they were trying, basically informing the committee that the fact that we have not been taking more IPPs, it's the reason that there is load shedding. It's one of the reasons that were conversed with the committee. And then also they spoke of the damages at the Kendal and Medupi in 2018 and 2021, respectively, and many other power stations. And then in terms of the mitigating interventions that the GCEO had reported at the time, that there is a need for policy decisions to be taken, also amending the contracts by the IPP office for them to access 200 megawatts from existing IPPs, also to removing bottlenecks, additional 200 megawatts available by upgrading infrastructure. Also, the NERSA should simplify the registration process for installation of 100 megawatts and under. And then in terms of the financial sustainability, the utility's liquidity constraints can be alleviated if the municipality debt amounting to 47 billion can be paid to Eskom. That's one of the issues that Eskom canvassed, that's how they are able to deal with the issue of the liquidity of Eskom. And then in terms of the submission of NUM, it was led by the full-time sub-steward, Mr. Mvovo, who actually presented as to why the union was against the suspension of the replacement of the steam generator. And they also raised the issue of the contract being mismanaged, and that the deferment of Unit 2 actually was depriving the Eskom from 900 megawatts of electricity. And then they believe that the decision to suspend that particular thing was not due to Eskom's failure to be ready, but actually it was because of the contractor, which was Framatome, which is a French company. And then in the report, we are listing all the issues that NUM have said. That's a synopsis of what they have presented. And then Eskom's response to NUM presentation, of ESCOM did conceal that they are losing skilled staff, especially nuclear operators. And ESCOM was unable to offer increases, bonuses, etc. That was one of the reasons not being unable to retain staff. In terms of the SGR, ESCOM responded that the SGR outages were being operated safely and Quebec never lacked maintenance over the years. And then that the entity was not being reckless and that the deferment of the SGR of Unit 2 would not lead to job losses. The meeting actually did not, this oversight visit did not finish the discussions on the issue of the nuclear power station, which was Quebec and the issues raised by NUM. Hence, the committee had to take a decision that we will have subsequent meetings to deal with the issues. That, however, the committee did undertake a site visit on the plant to look at the construction of this Unit 2 of Quebec power station that was off the grid. And then the resolutions that were taken at the Queen, the committee was unable to fully engage on the complaint of NUM and the presentation of ESCOM, and hence a decision was taken that a follow-up meeting should be held. And then on the 30th of August, a joint follow-up meeting was held to afford ESCOM a response, a opportunity to respond. However, ESCOM had not responded to the allegations, citing that the issues were labor-related and ESCOM is not obliged to respond to them. Then the joint committees also resolved again that ESCOM need to come back and submit a written response, which was submitted to the committee, and that meeting was held on the 27th of September, 2022. And then the observations of the committee in relation to what has transpired, the committee noted with concern that the reported delays and alleged corruption regarding the steam generator replacement project at Quebec nuclear power station, and then the allegations by the union that the contractor Framatome responsible for the replacement of the generator has not delivered on its contractual obligation. However, it continued to be paid. It also noted that the allegations that managers were responsible for the steam generator project were suspended to protect French-based company. In terms of the recommendations, having engaged both ESCOM and NUM, the committee's resolved to embark on a follow-up visit to the power station for an in-depth investigation on the serious allegations of corruption at the plant. In terms of the meeting with the liquidators of the South African Express Airways, the committee did meet with the business rescue practitioners. In fact, we met with the Department of Public Enterprises led by the DDG, Advocate Makobe. And then the committee was taken to, in terms of the status of the provisional liquidation of S Express, also in terms of how much of the total proceeds from the disposal of the company assets was received, which was 24,748,700 rand. And then the intangible asset sale was still underway at the time. In terms of the employees of South African Express Airways, it was also reported that the employees' claim documents have been completed. The claim will be against the company and payable from the free residue of the liquidation and distribution account. And then this will be done at the end of the liquidation process. And at that stage, the liquidators did not foresee a dividend payable to the concurrent creditors. They also reported that by the 28th of April 2020, the granting of the provisional order, the employee salaries were outstanding for March and April 2020. And then all these outstanding salaries will be dealt with against the company, which is South African Express Airways, at the end of the thing. However, we were informed that the UIF and the TERS, which is a temporary employee relief scheme, were paid and received by the employees. And then they were just giving us a update in terms of how far they are in terms of implementing the issues of the pensions and retirement funds for employees. And then progress that has been taken, and progress in terms of action that has been taken, the issue of the sale of the material assets of the airline was complete. Section 4, 1, 7, and 8, inquiry into affairs of the airline was ongoing. So it's just a synopsis of the a table of what has been done and what was still outstanding in terms of the thing, in terms of Esk Express. And in terms of the findings of the committee noted that there is progress in terms of the liquidation process. However, was concerned that the timelines has taken longer than anticipated. And then SACS had no funding post the BRP process that it had to be liquidated. The committee noted how the state capture has established SOC's governance operationally and financially, or this state capture has destabilized the SOC's governance operationally and financially. And then noted that according to commissioner's findings, there is evidence of reckless trading at South African Express. There were challenges with the initial bidder in raising the balance of the purchase price to fund the purchase of the airline. Noted that fair value of the intangible assets is as valuable as whoever is willing to pay for it. Valuation was based on the intention to sell the airline to a party willing to capitalize. It is not transferable and requires government consent. The sale of the intangible assets is the responsibility of SACS. In terms of the recommendation, the committee recommended that the Minister of Public Enterprise should consider ensuring that the liquidation process is done in a transparent manner, ensuring that there is clear communication among stakeholders about the liquidation process, ensure that the systems are put in place to ensure that no other state entity would go through this particular process. In terms of the oversight to South African Airways, the committee visited the Airways Park and met with the leadership of SAA, and it was mainly to get a progress update on the sale of the sale transaction with Takata Consortium, which also briefed us because Mango is a subsidiary of SAA. So the table over there just gives us a report in terms of how far they are in terms of Mango. Then in terms of the strategic equity partnership, the expression of interest was published on the 2nd of December, 2021, and closed on the 20th of December, 2021, with 10 applicants. And then the 6 were shortlisted with due diligence commenced until the March 2022. In terms of the human resources, this is just the group has a total of 786 employees, 50 employees at cargo until outsourcing is finalized. And it also gives us a report in terms of all the divisions of SAA, how they just trimmed the employees to the level at which they can afford, as reported. And also in terms of air chefs, what is their mandate, and in terms of what they're going to do to ensure that they are profitable and efficient. In terms of the progress on the strategy, air chefs is expected to be profitable from February 2022. And then they are basically going to be ensuring that they are working with British Airways and Virgin Airlines, and also ensuring that there's also non-airline customers such as Transnet and Shell were able to buy from air chefs. In terms of SAA technical, this is also one of the subsidiaries of SAA, which is still full intact, and then they are doing a full service maintenance repair and overall of airlines. They are also will be working with the other airlines to ensure that they are servicing other airlines from other airlines within the SADC region. And then this is just a report on what is it that they're doing to ensure that the SAA technical is able to be profitable. And then just a report on the SAA fleet plan in terms of what is it that they are operating with now, which they reported that they've got a 3 A319s flight aircrafts, 2 A320s, and 1 A330 on a power by the hour lease agreement, which they reported that they only pay for the hours that they have been on the on operation. If the aeroplane does not fly, they don't pay for the hours that the aeroplane was not flying. So that is what they explained as the hour by the power lease agreement. We're just giving a report in terms of how they wish to increase the fleet plan and also the frequency of the airline. Strategic Equity Partnership, government, they also give us a report in terms of how this came about in terms of government taking a decision that SAA needed to be saved and not liquidated. Hence, they are taken to get a strategic equity partnership. And then they also give a synopsis in terms of how the process had actually unfolded and what informed the SEP. And at the time that we were at the oversight, this particular process was not finished yet. In terms of the process of selection of the SEP, we have also given a phase one, phase two, phase three in terms of the EOI evaluation, the proposal development, and the implementation in terms of the strategic equity partnership process. And then as a result of the extended duration of the pandemic and its impact on both global and domestic aviation, some of the parties who had interest that could not provide capital required to provide for the airline. And there was fewer people. And then that is how they are explaining in terms of how Takato Consortium was formed by these entities. And on the slide there shows that who are the companies that forms part of the consortium. And in terms of the findings of the committee, they are listed over there. I'm not going to go into each and every one to save the committee time. In terms of the recommendation, that the committee recommend that the Minister of Public Enterprises should consider ensuring that the satisfaction of all the conditions precedent and regulatory approvals are met for the conclusion of the transaction. Then the committee also visited Denel headquarters at Centurion jointly with the portfolio with the standing committee on appropriation. Basically, we were briefed by the meeting was also attended by AMSCO and Denel and the standing committee on and the standing committee on appropriation. So the committee was briefed on the South African defense industry risk occasioned by a plethora of challenges, experience, exposure, and reliance on Denel, AMSCO's capacity to deliver on defense contracts, and the assessment of the risk to South Africa's sovereignty in the event credit guarantees are enforced by respective lenders. In terms of the current state of Denel, basically, the committee was blatantly informed that Denel was technically insolvent at the time of the visit because the available cash was insufficient to meet the operational requirements, including the payment of salaries and suppliers. And then the latest cash flow projections for the 2020-21-22 financial year indicated a negative 600 million if no mitigation was undertaken. So that was the financial position of SAA that was presented, and everything has been stipulated in that particular section. And also in terms of the outstanding tax payments and SARS status, the current tax status for the group is non-compliant due to the substantial tax liability that remained unpaid at the time. In terms of AMSCO program penalties, on 6.1.9, that there were many penalties that were enforced by SARS due to the inability of Denel to deliver on its contractual obligations in terms of the agreement between SARS, Denel, and AMSCO. In terms of the legal matters, Danielle is currently defending the following legal matters. And those were the legal matters that have been identified at 6.1.11, 12, 13, and 14. These are both employee-related and also supplier and related. In terms of the funding challenges of Danel, the significant restructuring cost is required for implementation of the new operating model in addition to operating requirements whilst the new model is implemented. So Eskom, Danel reported that they will require approximately 3.7 billion immediately to deal with the obligations of the new model, implementing the new model, and a further 900 million was required over the next 24 months to complete the turnaround plan of Danel. So that is just what Danel had reported in terms of what they require in terms of the financial backing from the state. In terms of the findings, the non-payments of salaries, concern regarding penalties due to inability to deliver on contracts, concern on the technical insolvency of Danel, and the fear of the entity being liquidated. Lack of cooperation between AMSCO, Defence and Danel are some of the issues raised in the presentation. The need for Danel and AMSCO to open the market for youth, women and people with disability in the procurement space. So there is a deficit of over 500 million on the funding of the corporate plan. There is a restructuring process in place. All the six divisions will be converted into business units and reduce the management structure of each business unit. So these are some of and then when you look at the recommendation of the committee in terms of the Danel visit, that the Minister of Public Enterprises should consider presenting to the committee the future sustainability of Danel, ensuring the resolution of all outstanding payment to employees, suppliers, and creditors, present to the committee the financial requirement of the entity over the medium-term expenditure framework. That was the last part of the report. It was quite long, Chair. That's where the report ends, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Mutjumi. Honorable members, that is the report, and it's for engagement so that we, at the end of the day, we adopt it. But I'm not sure, Mr. Mutjumi, whether we add the Liz part before we continue.
Chair, I would advise that we conclude this one because Liz one, it speaks something different to this.
Okay.
We can adopt this one, then we can go to the next issue.
Okay. Let us engage this report, honorable members. I will not take hands. I will just go through the list in front of me, as usually. And we'll start with Honorable Shabalala. Honorable Shabalala?
Yes, Chairperson?
Yes.
Yes, Chair, I would like to second. Chairperson?
And did I come back with this day?
Oh, I come back with me. Oh, then the second and the thing would see up on it.
I'll say. You are the first person to
in touch with the report. Okay. Thank you so much, Chair. I would like to agree with the contents of the report as raised by the Secretary and summarized as such. But just to also maybe to emphasize that issue around what we said to the department for them to look into an option that says that if the Takatso Consortium does not gain fruition or the contract doesn't go through, the state should look into taking back SAA back to the state. You can
can put it in nice English, Mr. Mukumi, but I think that's the point I want to raise in the report. But I'm comfortable with the chairperson, and I therefore move for its adoption as read and raised. Thank you, Chair.
Oh, thank you, Honorable Shabalala. Honorable Isaac.
Chairperson, thank you. I was unfortunately not part of the oversights that were discussed, so I think it wouldn't be fair for me to comment at this point. Thank you, Chair.
Okay, understandable. Honorable Komani. Jeanette. Honorable Komani. Honorable Komani, uphumile lapha, ne?
Unkwankwa ukhona nje person yasekho.
Honorable Komani warobala nje, warobala.
Full to engage the report. Mandiyambe diye ku Honorable Gumede. Honorable Gumede.
Chair?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, Chair. Gori, as a member who did not attend the oversight. However, having the issues, I will focus on Dinel. Items that have been raised, that we currently are discussing. So as a result, I'll be happy with the contents of the presentation, as well as hoping that when we revisit Dinel, some of the issues and will in fact be reaffirmed. So all what I'm saying, Chair, I'm happy with the report. Thank you.
Okay, Honorable Kumede. Thank you. Let's go to Honorable Kwangwa.
Chairperson, thank you very much. You will recall that I only joined the oversight via the Standing Committee on Appropriations when we visited Dinel. So I want to understand, since I was part of 25% of the oversight visit, was I absent or present in the context of the report itself? Because I'm not part of the delegation. I know it was a delegation of public enterprises, but I joined you in Joburg. But there's one issue, Chair, with respect to Dinel that we have raised sharply in that meeting. And I think even in the recent meeting where we had Dinel, virtually we also raised it, is their over-reliance on the sale of non-core assets as their turnaround strategy, where we were saying that there doesn't seem to be a clear plan and clear strategy with respect to making sure that they are able to turn around the business without relying solely on the sale of non-core assets. But I do think perhaps that could feature prominently in the report itself. But also, Chairperson, I think that since we have picked up their use of, I mean, ever since I became a member of public enterprises, every time you even raised this thing, I think you even amplified the point during the oversight after some of us made interventions, that we usually are told about these pipeline businesses, staggering figures which are never realized. I think we need to find a way of keeping track of that so that we hold them to account, because it proves once again that in the turnaround strategy, new sales is